today is the Feast of Trumpets, so I thought I'd just do some random wanderings through the Word about trumpets and what that is. And here we are, we're observing the feast. The new moon of the seventh month, Tishri. The beginning of the fall feasts, Yom Teruah, the day of blowing. The day to sound the shofar. We did. That was good. The Feast of Trumpets represents a turning point in mankind's history. This feast marks the beginning of the fall season festivals. We can look at that in Exodus 23:14 and Deuteronomy 16:16. That includes the final 4 days of the final four holy days of the year. The beginning of an incredible time during which Yahweh will play a much more direct part in world events. This Yom Kadosh, this holy day, this feast, starts an intervention of Yahweh and Yahshua into the world for the whole of mankind. Yom Teruah depicts the return of Yahshua HaMashiach to the earth to establish the kingdom of Yahweh. In a weary, sin-filled world, there is a voice of hope at the sound of the last trumpet. You can turn with me to Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17, where it says, "The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before Yahweh fell on their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign.'" I'm enthused by one little part of this. I'm enthused by the whole scripture, but one part really gets to me where it says, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of Yahweh and his Messiah." Revelation reveals a series of events heralded by angels sounding a series of seven trumpet blasts. The seventh angel sounding of the last trumpet signifies that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of Yahweh. Scriptures foretell that at this time, Yahshua HaMashiach will return to the earth. All of the prophecies of the Bible, out of all of the prophecies of the Bible, this one surely heralds the most exciting news possible for this world. But even at this time, we see that those who would deny Messiah, they refer to this monumental event as Rosh Hashanah. The head of the year? The new year. The first day of the seventh month. Really? The new year? No. I know this is the beginning of the Jewish civil calendar, but why not on the first day of the first month? They really, I believe, wanted to hide the significance of Yom Teruah, I guess. Yom Teruah also marks the future fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies that speak of a Messiah coming as a king of the line of David, who will sit on the throne of Israel and rule with the power and authority of Torah over all nations. The concept of a conquering Messiah was on the minds of the apostles immediately after Yahshua's resurrection. When he appeared to them just before returning to his Father, they asked him, "Master, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" That's in Acts, first chapter, sixth verse. Yahshua spoke of distinctions between his first and second comings. When Pontius Pilate questioned him before the crucifixion, the sacrifice, the offering, Yahshua stated that he had not come to rule at that time. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So Pilate asked him, "Are you a king then?" And Yahshua said that he was. "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." That's in John chapter 18, 36 through 37. After Messiah's resurrection, the apostles excitedly anticipated the fulfillment of this promise. They knew of the messianic prophecies like Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 that describe a time when the government will be upon his shoulder, and the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Responding to the apostles' question concerning the establishment of the kingdom, Yahshua told them it was not for them to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. That's in Acts 1:7. Messiah instead told them to spread the evangel throughout the world. Later, the apostles realized that his return was not necessarily imminent. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24 says, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Shabbat, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a kadosh convocation," a set apart convocation. That's what we're doing. We've set ourselves apart. Yahweh instructed Israel in the proper use of trumpets. In that day, a hollow animal horn, known as a shofar, and a metal instrument were considered to be trumpets. They were important in communicating messages. The sounding of one silver trumpet meant there was going to be a meeting of the leaders of Israel. Two silver trumpets sounded were a call of gathering of all of the people of Israel. That's in Numbers 10, 3 and 4. Yahweh also used a shofar to announce his meeting with Israel when he descended upon Mount Sinai in Exodus 19:16. Trumpets could also sound a warning. Numbers 10:9 says, when you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be redeemed before Yahweh your Elohim and be saved from your enemies. Trumpets could also announce a feast. Also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feasts, and on the first day of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. That's Numbers 10:10. Trumpets could be heard over great distances. Trumpets were used in, well, they're still used. I was going to say trumpets were used in ancient times for attracting attention, but they're still used for that purpose. But as it concerns us today, in Psalm 81:3, we're told to blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, and on our feast day. We also find trumpets used at the return of Yahshua. For the Master himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air, so that we shall always be with the Master. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. Let's see. If Yahweh used a shofar to announce his meetings with Israel on Mount Sinai, what type of a trumpet blast do you think we're going to be looking forward to when he returns? It's probably a shofar. These passages attest to the significance of this Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. As in the Hebrew wedding custom, we find the coming of the bridegroom being announced by the blowing of a trump. The groomsman would go ahead of the bridegroom and blow the trumpet to alert the bride so that she could be ready when the bridegroom arrived. When Yahshua left, he told us he would come back for us, just like a Hebrew bridegroom would come back for his bride. We are to be waiting, watching, preparing, anticipating every moment until we hear that shofar blast announcing the return of the bridegroom for his bride. What a glorious day that will be. The feasts are a reminder of prophecy. Our deliverance culminating in the establishment of the kingdom. The first day of unleavened bread symbolizes our departure from Egypt, Mitzrayim. And that was realized by Yahshua's sacrifice, allowing us to leave the worldly way of living behind. The last day of unleavened bread symbolizes the crossing of the Red Sea. And that was realized by Yahshua releasing us from our sin and allowing us to look forward to the promised land. Pentecost, Shavuot, is symbolized by the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. At Shavuot, we were given the instructions to grow and flourish in our new life. Yahweh's Spirit helps us in this endeavor. These three feasts have been realized. They are complete, and we await the other feasts. Next is trumpets, Yom Teruah, when the bridegroom returns at the sound of the last trump. We will be reunited with Yahshua. Then there's the wedding feast, which is Sukkot, tabernacles, the kingdom. It's kind of trite to say the kingdom renewed. It's the kingdom made the way it was to have been in the beginning. Notice in Matthew 24, verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?" A curious lot, these apostles. The prophet Daniel had foretold the establishment of the kingdom of Yahweh and how the saints, or Yahweh's people, would inherit the kingdom in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. Yeah, read it. Like the disciples, however, Daniel did not understand when the kingdom would come. Yahshua, in response to his disciples' questions, laid out for them a series of events that would lead up to his return. He mentioned to them religious deception, wars, famines, disease, earthquakes, and other calamities in Matthew 24, 4 through 13. He characterized the time of his return as an era of hatred and lawlessness. In this setting, Yahshua said, "The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Later, Yahshua revealed many more details about this future time. In the beginning of Yahweh's anger against the disobedient nations, seven plagues will be poured out on a sinning world, with a trumpet blast announcing each one. These events set the stage for the seventh angel's trumpet sounding, and Yahshua HaMashiach return to assume rule over the governments of the earth. Matthew 24 says that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's in Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Matthew 24 probably wouldn't be a bad chapter to read. The Feast of Trumpets signals a resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul spoke of this event, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits, afterward those who are Messiahs at his coming. 1 Corinthians 15:21-23. Paul again further explained, "For the Master himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah will rise first." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "Immediately followed by the people of Yahweh who are alive at that time." In 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Revelation 25:6 describes this as the first resurrection, which is also called a better resurrection in Hebrews 11:35. This change to immortal life is the hope of those who understand Yahweh's plan. In the book of Romans, Paul depicts this resurrection as a glorious deliverance from bondage. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption or the full rights of sonship, full rights of inheritance, the redemption of our body." That comes from Romans, various places, chapter 8, verses 19, 21, 23. Romans chapter 8 is a good one to read. Careful of Paul. He can be a little hard to understand, or so Peter says. The good news is that Yahweh will intervene to save humanity and guide mankind into his chadosh way of life, his set apart way of life. Yahshua Messiah will return to raise his bride from death and establish Yahweh's perfect rule over the earth. This is the wonderful, inspiring meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. Your kingdom come. Hallelujah.